Whoa! Did I hear myself?
Did you?
Did you say cool?
No, you said cool, and I said okay. Are we doing a bit?
No. Well, it's been a while.
Yeah. We should do nothing but bits this year.
How are you?
I'm all right. Welcome to Crankcast Week 1021. With a large gap since the last time we talked.
How long has it been?
It was the end of January. Well, I tried to call you at the end of
February. Wow!
I tried to call you in February, but we had a mishap or something. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad day.
Yeah.
Been a lot of bad days.
Yeah. Yeah. First order of business, that we're going to actually keep recording this year. We're going to have to figure out something else to use besides Skype, because they're ending Skype next week.
I saw that. What does that mean? Is it Skype not going to just exist anymore?
Well, they say they're rolling their customers over into Teams, Microsoft Teams, I think, which apparently also offers like voice calling and stuff like that.
Yeah, no thanks.
And group chats and group video and whatever. I'm not super keen on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it would be the easiest thing, because you can log in with your Skype credentials, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, they better.
So, I mean, I guess that would be the easiest
thing. A lot of people
that
depend on this. I mean, that's how I do my guitar lessons.
But, I mean, we have alternatives. We got Discord, Signal. Might not be a bad idea.
Discord has a video element you can record with?
I think. But, I mean, I was saying...
Didn't we try that early on?
It wasn't early on, but it was probably like eight, nine years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while either way, but I'm sure it's probably improved. It wasn't any better than Skype at the time, so I guess we just stuck with Skype for that reason. But there's also a Signal, apparently.
What is Signal?
It's a privacy-focused chat app.
What does that mean?
It's like got end-to-end encryption and stuff. Which doesn't really, I don't think, matter as much to us. But a lot of people use it. And they have clients for both Mac and Windows. So, or you could do it on like your iPhone or your iPad or your Android or whatever.
I'll do whatever you say, unless you want me to do the research.
I can probably adapt to whatever, so whatever's comfortable for you. I don't know.
You have a Mac now, don't you?
Yeah, I've plugged it in once to make sure it worked.
Yeah, you need to. How long have you had it? You've had it a couple months now, right?
I bought it back in the sale in November.
Wow.
Because it was really cheap. I just haven't had much of an opportunity to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
I basically bought it because it seemed like the cheapest way to dip my toes into the Mac world.
Yeah. No, it's a great idea.
And I wanted to see, because I had seen a bunch of videos of people using the previous generation for audio stuff, and it seemed like it was running audio really well. Multi-tracking and stuff like that. So I figured if nothing else, I could maybe just turn it into a standalone DAW kind of thing.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to use it for.
Well, I wanted to try out like some of my work programs too, and see how it runs those. I got the base model, so I doubt it's going to be all accurate.
Well, I mean, other than music, what's so computer intensive?
The graphics programs and stuff. I mean, they can suck up memory real easy.
Illustrator? For what you do?
Yeah, I still have to deal with big files that I have to place and stuff. And I still do work in Photoshop and stuff, too. So I keep meaning to try to get a handle on using the... What's the name of it? I've already forgotten the name of it. There's that other competitor, sort of, but the Affinity stuff. That's it.
Yeah, I mean... Like so many headaches with the way production goes now, it's like you don't want to do something that's going to have problems on the back end. So it's safe just to stay with the Adobe stuff, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's sort of part of that where industries get hidebound, you know, and they get stuck in a rut even if it's not necessarily the best thing because they're stuck in it because everybody's using it, you know. I don't know. For a lot of my work now, when I output for publishers, I give them just an EPS file with just a lettering in it, and they assemble it in InDesign or whatever they're using, you know. So as long as it can output EPSs, which it can, but it'd be easier. I mean, the problem is I do still have some clients that like me to give them AI files specifically. Mm-hmm. Like even if I'm outlining text and stuff, they still want it as an AI file for their workflow. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, part of the reason I haven't really pushed for moving over to this other program yet. Plus I have to relearn stuff. Like, and that's, unless you've got nothing to do, it's never a good time to have to relearn things. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
You know? Which is kind of what I'm running into, like trying to figure out what we should use next to record with, because we've been using Skype for so long, I don't really know how to use anything else. I mean, Zoom's easy enough if we want to try that.
Yeah, you got to pay for it, right?
I think there's still a free tier that lets you record up to X amount of minutes.
Whoa, that'll help keep us within a time limit.
Yeah, as long as it... I have to look in to see what the actual time limit is on the free tier.
That might be good.
It's under an hour, I think. 45
well, that
minutes,
works
maybe?
For me. That works for me.
45 minutes to an hour? Something like that. I mean, we used to... Like, when we were organized, we used to... I think our shows were usually 45 minutes long back in the day.
Yeah.
Because we had... I remember we had three segments, essentially, in the show.
That's right. We had a format. That's right.
Oh, maybe we were an hour. Because I think we did 15 minutes, half hour, and then 15 minutes. Or maybe it was 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and 15 minutes.
What were the segments? Were they just different topics?
Yeah. And we'd segue in between, like, using, like, a music clip to segue from one thing to another or something.
We haven't done that in a long time.
Nah, that was... It wasn't enough return on investment for all the work it took me to find songs.
So, well,
I mean, songs,
what do you qualify as return on investment?
To do it without us having to spend any money, which was always a consideration.
Yeah.
I'd have to comb through songs that I actually liked that were in public domain kind of stuff.
Oh, right, that's right.
I mean, I could have just grabbed.
You're the
anything.
One person on the internet that cares about that stuff.
Well, I mean, I also just didn't want us getting, you know. Sued or something, or notice, you know.
I'm with you. I agree with you. It's just making a joke.
But they, yeah, I don't know, just having to comb through. If I could have just pulled stuff out of my library each week, which is what I started doing, that was easier. But when I had to actually, like, look for stuff, it wasn't really worth it for 30 seconds of some song, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I think
I'm sure there's at least one person that probably liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then there's always that time I made an ass out of myself and the band was really nice about it.
Oh, that's right. Who was that you insulted?
They were called Meat Bee.
Meat Bee.
Meat Bee, like B-E-E.
Meat Bee, yes. What did you say about them?
The song I had found was them doing a cover of the Transformers theme from the movie.
Oh.
I think it was
the movie. Well, you didn't say anything bad about them, did you?
I think I was just... kind of harshly making fun of them.
Oh, that doesn't sound like you.
Well, that's the only time I did it, because after they called me on it, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I was being an ass. Like,
well, that's just something that doesn't sound like you would do.
I think I was just trying to be funny, and it came out mean, you know?
I know how that is.
I mean, that happens. You know, you're just trying to be silly or something, and you come out sounding like a jerk. Like,
yeah, you've described most of my life.
And then somehow they heard it. They heard our show.
Well, they're probably scanning the internet for mentions of their nation.
I mean, they're from Australia, for Pete's sake. But then they were real nice about it and sent me a CD of their other stuff. Like,
wow.
And I was like, you know, I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know. Anyway.
So should we address why we haven't recorded in a while? Or we just want to skip over it?
Things
have been bad.
Yeah, just dicey, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Panic attacks. And
yeah. It's just been bad, people.
It's weird because when I sit down and I focus on, like, work, you know, mm-hmm. doing a job,
yep.
It's not bad.
Yep. That's why I worked so much.
Yeah, but that's, I think, also, I don't know if that's a problem or a symptom, but it's...
It is a problem because that will get too much and you'll eventually have a breakdown like me.
Well, yeah, or like when I went nuts in 2022. But the problem is like, I don't know, over the past decade, I guess, I threw myself so much into my work, I don't know what to do when I'm not working.
Yep.
Like, my brain doesn't know how to work, or, you know, react to things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help, like, you know, I haven't been anywhere since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
Like, no convention.
Well, you can fix that.
I can, but part of the problem is that, I mean, that is a symptom that I haven't been to anything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a symptom of a larger problem. But, I don't know, you know, so, I mean, and plus some just dumb real world stuff happened to me. Like,
yeah.
The very beginning of February, right after we talked,
mm-hmm.
It was still really freaking cold. And my furnace went out, and it stayed mm-hmm. out for a week.
Yeah. And you died. You died.
Yes, I am talking to you from beyond.
Yeah.
What was that Harry Houdini said? It was like a code phrase for his wife, so she wouldn't be tricked by people saying that he was talking to her from beyond.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember that. That makes sense.
Remember Roseanne or something like that? Like, remember Roseanne, pray something, something.
Mm.
But the phrase itself wasn't what was supposed to
be. I wonder if she ever had a chance to test that.
She saw spiritual people after he died and never got the message, so, mm-hmm. from what I understand. But yeah, so, yeah, I didn't have a furnace for a week, and that was like a dumb comedy of errors, because I had that furnace installed, like, a year or two after I moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a warranty on the parts and everything, but the place that, how do I phrase this? The place in town that honored the warranty didn't have the part. Now, the part was in town at another place, but I would have had to pay out for it. And it was...
such a runaround.
It was enough money that I'm like, well, that's dumb. I mean, at first we thought the part was going to be here in like a day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay all this money if I only have to wait a day or two. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll just dress warmly, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
And, something happened, and the part kept getting delayed and kept getting delayed. And then finally the part got in, and at this point I had been living... It was basically like living in a walk-in fridge.
Why didn't you just go down the street to your parents' house?
Well, I had to work. I couldn't just cart everything over there, and they don't have any place for me to set it up, you know?
Mm.
And I, you know, I still have to work. And I couldn't be there, like, the hours I keep, I couldn't be over there. So it's like... Because I'd be waking them up and stuff, you know? So it just... And at first, like I said, it wasn't supposed to be a week. And it kept dragging out, like, oh, it'll be here tomorrow. It'll be here tomorrow. You know, like that.
Yeah.
It was like an abusive relationship, sort of. Why are you making me freeze you? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But... So I... And that was a very weird experience. Like, it never
freezing
got,
to death? Yeah.
Well, it never got, like, to the point where it was freezing. I think the lowest it was in here was, like, 44 degrees.
That's pretty cold. That's and it's not inhabitable. I mean, uninhabitable. It's...
Yeah, I mean, I was basically dressed for outside, inside.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. There was one day when it got up to 52 outside, and it was warmer outside than it was inside, so I opened up windows. At 52,
that's hilarious.
At 52 degrees, you know, so I could warm my house up.
Did it help?
It warmed the house up to outside temperature.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, and I wasn't like, I had this old electric oil radiator that I bought when I first moved to Chicago because I lived down in that basement apartment,
mm-hmm.
and that was super cold in the winter. And I, when I moved in, yeah, it was still January or February when I moved in, so it was still cold, and I bought it real fast. And so I had that, but it's not designed to, like, heat a house, you know?
Yeah.
So I pull it into the bedroom and shut the door and have it running while I slept, and that at least kept it warm enough in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had it out in the living room during the day, just kind of constantly running.
And do you work in the living room?
No, but, like, that was sort of the central, that's sort of the central area.
Okay.
And then I'd put on, like, the whole house fan to, like, kind of circulate the air a bit. And that I think that helped keep it from getting super freezy.
Did you ever get it fixed?
Yeah, and this is a really dumb part. So, the repair guy, he was like, well, I described what was happening with it. And he's like, okay, well, I'll come over when the part's in, you know, and then that way I only have to make one trip and save you some money. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Which, again, at first, the part was supposed to be there pretty quick. And I'm just like, okay, fine, whatever. I can last a couple days. And so he never came to actually check the part out until the day when he had came to remove the part to take it in as a trade-in for the new part. And
okay.
So he's like, well, let me try something. And he jams a screwdriver into it. And,
Why did he try that?
Well, okay, so what the part that was wrong was the... your furnace has two fans. Well, if it's like, you know, a furnace like mine.
There are two fans inside you.
Yes. Which reminds me. Remind me about fans later in the conversation.
Okay.
After I get through this. So there are two fans. There's a fan that's your main house fan that blows, whether it's the heater or the air conditioner and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that circulates air through the house. There's a smaller fan that looks like a... You ever see those fans that they put down for... drying floors and stuff. They got that kind of look like a Nautilus shell, sort of.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
This kind of looks like that, and it's got that kind of blade system, which is on a rotary thing that kind of looks like a paddle wheel instead. And that's to suck out the gases that are coming off the burner and blow them outside. And that's
good.
That's the part that was going wrong. And so when it wouldn't kick on right, the built-in safety features in the furnace wouldn't turn the furnace on. So I didn't die of carbon monoxide or something, you know?
Well, that's good.
So that's what he was jamming the screwdriver in. There's a part where you can see the blades from the outside, and he was trying to manually turn it to see if it would kickstart on. Basically, the way they run these warranties now is it's not just they're trying to stop people from just throwing parts at something instead of actually diagnosing what the problem is. And to that end, if you give them a part that they find actually works, they charge you for the price, the full price. They won't honor the warranty. Which would have put me right back at the beginning again. But, so he's fiddling with the screwdriver and manually rotating the blades, and we kick the furnace on, and lo and behold, it starts. I'm like, okay. And then we just went through that whole cycle a couple times to make sure it would keep restarting. I'm like, well, but what if it actually is bad? I don't want to go through this again. I just spent a week freezing my ass off. He's like, well, I can take it in there, but that's when he explained to me about the parts thing, that they were charging me if it was good.
Oh, so you didn't know about that until he told you that.
No. And then... he's like, well, I can pull it off and check it. I'm like, wait, okay, yeah, do that. You know? And it turns out there was a... You know what plumber's putty is? It's that kind of stuff that never really dries out. They use it around plumbing fixtures and stuff, you know?
Okay.
The guy that installed it previously, and I'm guessing he did this because of why the previous furnace failed, because there's condensation that happens from the burning, from the burner's burning gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets... sucked out or like goes down a drain tube or gets blown out through this fan system. And but with the previous furnace, something had occurred where that condensation was leaking and it fried the circuit boards. And that furnace was old enough that getting new circuit boards wasn't going to be easy, so that's why I had the whole new thing installed. But so I guess because of that, he put plumber's putty around the seal where this attaches to the furnace, and some of that had rolled inside of the... Like, it wasn't just all on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it eventually just worked its way loose, and it jammed the fan up. It got caught on the blades between the blade and the housing. And that's what was causing the fan not to be able to spin up. So, like I said, this whole thing was just a big, like, one dumb thing after another.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the idea that we haven't recorded in 4 months, and if anybody's waiting to listen, they're just going to get an earful of your HVAC problems.
Yeah, it's important, man.
It's like, you want to? If you complained about us not being around, this is what you deserve.
Oh, we did get a very nice check-in email from John Amore.
Yeah, he contacted Sean, too, because Sean told me. That's how I found out.
Really?
Yeah.
That was nice. I mean, it was nice
out the feelers.
It was nice of him to do a wellness. Nice. It's a wellness check, you know.
Like, yeah, I get it. I mean, we probably needed it.
Yeah, the right things have been going. Man. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to keep on about that. But I was just trying to illustrate how ridiculous that whole first week of February was for me.
Yeah.
And again, like, that is not an experience I ever recommend anybody going through. But it was
freezing to death. Yeah,
it was definitely a learning experience. Because it's very weird. It's one thing to like. Get bundled up and go out in the cold and be out there for like an hour or two or something like that. But when you're like living it 24 hours, like it's just, dude, carpet gets cold. Like You put your feet down on carpet and your carpet's cold. Carpet's never cold, man.
No.
Just like hotball shit. I was using a meat thermometer to check my temperature because I didn't have the power on to the furnace, so I couldn't. Like, just dumb stuff.
That's ridiculous.
And it just kept dragging out, and I think I broke something in my brain somewhere at that point.
Oh, that happened a long time ago.
Because it was just very. I was a mess, man, by the end of that week.
And you've never recovered.
Probably not.
Now I got the hiccups. You gave me the hiccups.
I think, let's see, what else? I don't know. Probably nothing else super interesting happened. Lots of odds and ends. Have you been following the whole diamond thing?
I haven't been following anything, dude.
Oh, man, this diamond scenario is weird.
Oh, I know about that because I had a book canceled because of it.
But, like, do you know anything about, like, this whole buying situation for him?
No, what's that?
So, this company called Alliance placed the highest bid, and they were going to buy a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in there, Alliance, like, the spokesman for Alliance, made some sort of kerfluffle that comic book people thought, like, they weren't going to be good for the comic industry. But that doesn't really have anything to do with the buying situation. So, Diamond then reneged on the... They backed out of the deal with this Alliance company and said, well, we're going to sell it to this lower bid of two companies that bid together. Not really clear on why or anything, like, at the time. And then Alliance sued and said, no, we got the top bid. You know? And then Diamond was like, well, I guess we have to let you have it, right? So then, last week, I think it was, Alliance said, nah, we're not going to buy it now. And Diamond's like, that's fine, we got these other people. Everything seemed weird, but then today or yesterday, I've been following most of this on the beat.
Uh-huh.
Heidi McDonald, is that her last
name?
Yeah.
Yep.
She's been reporting on it. And today or yesterday, it comes out that now Alliance is suing Diamond because they want to get their $8 million deposit back. Because Diamond didn't reveal the fact that Wizards of the Coast severed ties with Diamond.
I didn't know that either.
That happened at the end of December of last year. And I guess the people handling the lawyer firm or whatever that's handling the bankruptcy for Diamond.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't them. It was somebody else involved. I'm not really clear. This is where it gets kind of weird. So they fudged numbers on dates and things to make it look like that wasn't happening and withheld it from Alliance. So that basically devalued like 20% of Diamond's business value.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
If it weren't for the fact that it's screwing up everything, I mean, good riddance. Those fuckers never been straight with anybody.
I mean, I feel bad for the people that just work for Diamond because they don't know what the fuck's going on either. They're finding out stuff. I saw a comment on today's article where somebody was like, yeah, we don't know what the hell is going on either. We're finding out about all this stuff from the news. Like, the company's not telling us anything.
Yeah, that sounds like Diamond.
So, yeah.
They've been like that since the late 90s.
And I guess also the judge involved with the case is now recommending that Diamond switch to a Chapter 7 and just liquidate. Which, that's going to screw a ton of people over. I mean,
They're already, I mean, like I said, I had a book. I mean, I've had money taken out of my pocket because of them.
And, I mean, the people who are owed money are going to get some money back, but in a Chapter 7, it's going to be just like pennies on the dollar kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, fuck those guys.
And this ties into something else I've been seeing, which is weird, because I feel like we're just setting ourselves up for this again. Not we, I'm using the we as in the comic book industry.
Yeah.
Because I keep seeing all these announcements about publishers signing exclusively to other distributors again. I'm like, well, why are you doing... I understand why you're doing it.
What? How many are there?
Three now? Four?
Why would you do that then?
There's like Lunar, there's Simon & Schuster, there's...
Why would you, in this day and age, why would you sign exclusively with a distributor?
Ostensibly,
when everybody is struggling to get their stuff out there.
Ostensibly, signing exclusives to a distributor would give them like a better profit margin, is my guess. Anyway, there's got to be some sort of incentive for it, which usually amounts to
it means that the only people making money are the people that are signing exclusives. It's not everybody else is screwed by that.
I don't know, but my point is, I'm like, why is anybody signing exclusives? That's how Diamond got to the position anyway, and that's what fucked everything up partly.
Well, I think our world has proven that nobody pays attention to what came before.
It just, it's like, I don't, you know, I'm like, no, don't do that. You're just repeating everything.
Nobody, nobody ain't got no goddamn sense. Nobody's got no sense.
And I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not a business guy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I mean, so I don't know. And you know, exclusive contracts are, that's just what they are. They're term limited usually. I mean, they would have to be term limited.
Yep.
So it's not like, you know, once you sign exclusive, you're stuck exclusive forever. And in this instance, since there are several different distributors now, once your contract comes to term, you can play that into, like, well, I'm going to go to this other distributor because they're giving me better terms.
Yeah.
So there's a little more leeway than just having the Diamond, which you couldn't call Diamond a monopoly because there were other distributors even when Diamond was around.
There was, like, one, and right, nobody used it.
Except for, like, some independents. But that's how they got around, you know, they didn't bankrupt that other distributor, and that's how they got around being called a monopoly, because they were taken to court several times.
Oh, I know. I went to SPX back in the late 90s, and that's all anybody talked about there.
Yeah.
And I remember Sean McKeever and I went to a panel with the Diamond people, and we were both surprised that they would even show up there.
I don't know. And it, like, I don't know, I'm kind of sitting here reading about this stuff, and I'm like, holy crap, this is a big mess.
Yeah, it is. That's a everything's a big mess.
Like, for everybody involved, including us, including, you know, like...
Yeah, it affects people.
For the customers, too, you know, I mean, it's like, if the customers can't get their books, they're going to take their money and do something else with it.
Absolutely.
They'll either buy the books they can get, or they'll go, you know, buy a burger for $10 now, however much stuff costs. You know, go buy a carton of eggs for $20.
You sound like you've been in a cave for 15 years. Let's go buy a burger for $10.
Dude, $10 is a lot for a fast food burger.
A fast food burger? They're not $10 at fast food.
Well, getting there.
What kind of fast food do you go to?
I don't go to any anymore.
A McDonald's hamburger is $10.
No.
That's what I think of when I think of fast food.
I think of fast food as being anything with a drive-thru.
Okay. I've never seen a $10 hamburger at a drive-thru.
There's, what's that one restaurant where you can get pulled brisket? I can't remember what it's called around here.
Brisket?
Yeah, like brisket sandwiches and stuff.
I
can't remember what they're called. But anyway, I was driving my mom on a...
Arby's?
No. Although, yeah, I think you can get brisket at Arby's, too, sometimes.
They have the meats.
Freddy's? No.
Freddy's? I ain't never heard of that. What's Freddy's?
They might be regional. I don't know. But that's not who I'm thinking of. No. Anyway, I was driving my mom through the drive-thru when we were coming back from a hospital appointment.
Freddy's is somebody's house that you probably go by.
No, Freddy's is a barbecue joint around here.
Okay.
But they've got more than one location, so I don't know how far they spread. But anyway, my point is, I was taking my mom through the drive-thru, and she was getting dinner for her and my dad, and I can't remember exactly what she spent, but it was a lot of money for basically just some food for two people. It was like $30 or some shit at a fast food joint. I'm like, that is nuts, dude. I'm like, for $30, you could go to the grocery store and buy
it. Your mom.
Say what?
Oh, Sean is bringing the menu up to me. Holy crap. Oh, that's a meal is $13. That is a lot, though. But that's everything, so it should be, like, shouldn't be. Yeah. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway, before
well,
we...
Well, I'm sorry for your troubles.
What troubles? I don't have any troubles.
Your fast food troubles.
And we're back. Pretend there was a 30-second music clip there.
So what's the new 2025 format? Oh, wait, I can hear myself. I'm talking to myself through the speaker.
I guess that's the new 2025 format.
Oh, now it's just me repeating. Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't have that problem because I wear headphones, but there should be some.
Oh, yeah. So, well, you know, I'm so used to everybody chiming in, but nobody is really now. So I guess I could put headphones on. Do you think that'll help?
Well, I mean, that would help you not hear yourself because it wouldn't be coming through the speakers anymore. But there should be something in the software that's like a echo cancellation thing.
Well, you were talking about doing it at night anyway now.
Well, that's how I used to do it.
Yeah, we did do it. I mean, it would be, well, early evening.
Yeah. I mean, that's when we did it in person, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you're the one that always says you're super busy, so.
I'm just trying to figure out a way, unless and until I can actually correct my sleeping schedule. That's part of the reason why I haven't been able to get in touch with you either, is because, like, I get up really late and I stay up really late.
Hmm.
So by the time I'm up and ready to do anything, it's like, you know, it's already going on late afternoon for you, and I'm trying to play morning catch-up, essentially.
Yeah. Like, it's like you live in another country.
Almost, or yeah, different time zone or something. Like, it's, I worked some weird swing shifts when I was younger, and it's sort of like that.
I hated that. When I worked overnight at the pre-press place, I fucking hated it.
I did third shift at a pre-press place.
Yeah, I was sort of that, yeah. It was so weird, because I can't function when I'm sleepy, and I never got on the right schedule. And it sucked because, you know, Jason and Gerard were pretty much nocturnal animals to begin with, so it's like I never got sleep. When I got home, I couldn't sleep because everybody's being loud and having, you know, like they were, wasn't a party, but there was always people over.
Right.
So.
I remember when I worked third shift, I lived with two other musicians, and I remember getting home, because I'd get home about 8 in the morning, I guess.
Yeah.
8:30, somewhere around there. And I would drift off watching Sailor Moon, oddly. But I remember getting woken up, like, really badly by my one roommate coming home and going downstairs in the basement and banging on his drums.
Oh, right,
after I'd only been asleep for, like, 3 hours or something.
That's when I knew I didn't want to be in the band anymore. Was we went to record the EP, and that was in Madison, so we had to stay in a hotel. So we finished. No, this was the gig in St. Louis. So we played in St. Louis, and we stayed at a hotel. And because you didn't have money, we were all in the same room.
Oh, right.
But I don't know how they knew anybody in St. Louis, but our room was like full of people, and I'm just like trying to sleep, and they wouldn't let me.
Hey, Memphis.
And I was like, I don't want to be here. Yeah, he called me Memphis. You're right. You remembered that.
Yeah. I remember later on, like, you know, I had a lot of fun times crashing, like, 6-door room and stuff like that, like, when I was younger.
Yeah. It's not, yeah. I was never cut out for that lifestyle, I guess.
I just remember, though, like, one of the last times I actually, like, went on a band trip, and we crashed a whole bunch of us, and there were, like, girlfriends and wives along and stuff, too, you know?
Yeah, it's insane to share a room like that.
And I just remember, like
I guess,
oh,
it
man.
Makes you bond, that's for sure.
I was just, like, everybody was complaining, and I'm just like, why are we all here? Like, you know,
yeah.
Why are we doing this?
It'll make you question everything.
Like, I mean, if I could have afforded it, I would just got a room to myself, so I wouldn't have had to hear that, and I would have been fine. You know?
It's bad enough that we had to do it with the comic company at the time. You know, I definitely did not want to be in a band where we were doing it too.
Yeah.
But you know, we were broke. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, and when we were hitting conventions and staying like 4 or 5 to a room.
Like, yeah, but then you get incidents like Tabor peeing in a corner and shit like that.
Or I remember throwing pillows at Marshall because he snored.
I almost killed Marshall. Remember? Were you there at that show in Dallas?
No, I was never at Dallas.
So I was in there, and we just got there, and I just fell asleep on the bed, and Marshall was sitting next to me, and I had a dream that I was fighting Josh Blaylock, and my fist came down right on the bed where Marshall had just been. And I was like, and it woke me up. That's how hard I hit. I woke up from punching the bed.
Oh.
And he saw it too. He's like, whoa.
Glad I wasn't still there.
Yeah. So needless to say, the height of my anger issues.
The height?
The height. That, I mean, I've never tried to punch you.
Although, you know, I mean, those are those kind of things to me where at the time...
No! I just wasn't there. Oh, test? What'd you say?
Sorry. Did we
What'd you say, Craig?
I think we're getting internet edited again.
No, I was talking... I was talking to Jim.
Okay. I was just saying, like, things like that that seem like they're a real pain in the butt at the time, I can look back on wistfully now.
Oh, yeah. Everything's a good story, but in the moment, it's not always fun.
Right. But, you know, it was fun, though, at times, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was a really good bonding thing, like you said, you know.
I mean, that's why we check in on each other.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of like, yeah. It's not like we went to war together or anything, but, you know.
Yeah. I was telling the British people yesterday about how you used to subject me to Richard Harris albums all the time.
Did I? I mean, yes. Yeah, yes, I like Richard Harris, but...
Yes. You especially like the song stylings of Richard Harris.
Sure you don't mean Roger Whittaker?
No, you played that Camelot soundtrack a million times.
I did play the Camelot soundtrack. That's true.
And I'm pretty sure you did MacArthur Park, too.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Played a lot of Roger Whittaker, too.
Yes. Yeah, I know about Roger Whittaker because you wouldn't shut up about Roger Whittaker.
Bring me the head of Roger Whittaker. Anyway.
I just realized I covered Jim's desk with all the innards of my guitar box. Sorry about that. I'll get rid of it.
How's he supposed to work? Your guitar box?
I got a new guitar, and I took all the stuffing out, and I just put it on his desk. Because he's never in here.
You mean like all the case candy stuff?
No, like the packing material.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. What kind of guitar did you get?
I got one of those Epiphone Les Paul Widows. Have you seen those?
No.
They're like burst guitars in different colors, and the binding is the same color, too. So it's like a blue guitar with blue binding.
You said they're called Widows?
Yeah.
I am looking it up.
Yeah, you should. They're pretty. It's a very nice guitar. I like it a lot.
Guitar Center?
Hmm? It's a Guitar Center exclusive, yes.
Oh, that is pretty.
Yeah. I got the blue one. They have, like, five different colors.
The one that came up first for me was the Orange Burst, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's the one I was, like, I was talking to Stokes. Dave Stokes was here for 2 weeks, and I was like, who would buy that? Now I know.
Yeah, me, yeah. I mean, the Red Burst and the Blue Burst are nice, too.
That's what I got, the blue. But the purple's nice. I like the purple.
Indigo.
Purple would probably be my second choice.
Yeah, that purple one's cool, too. But yeah, I mean, I like the orange one.
That's cool. I bought you one.
I hope not.
That's your birthday present.
I got way too much stuff already.
That I'll forget about in November. At least I know it's in November.
And then you'll be like, why do I got this guitar?
Why do I have two of these?
Why
I'm just sitting there playing it, and I'm like, I was supposed to do something with this.
Why did I buy orange? I don't even like orange.
Yeah. And then you'll still tell me that it's your birthday and that I forgot, and I still won't put it together.
Oh, neat. I'm looking at this Gibson, the Japan Gibson website.
Mm-hmm. They got neat stuff. And the Fender stuff in Japan's neat, too.
The Widow version there? These are actual Gibsons, not Epiphones, then, I guess.
Yeah. But those are fucking expensive.
But they got, like, a tiger stripe top.
Yeah. The figuring's a little better on the Gibsons.
Ooh, these colors are sweet with that nice, like, veneer thing they have on the top going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a greenish-looking one, too.
Oh, yeah? I don't know why those are so popular. Why are the Carina? They look boring to me.
Carina?
Yeah, the brown ones? They're just wood grain?
No. These are all stained, like, you know, they're like the Widow on the Epiphone thing.
Oh, huh.
But they, and they've got peacock, red, yellow, orange, and olive.
Peacock?
Well, that's their blue one, yeah.
Can you send me that link?
Yeah, I can't read it.
So people can't see what we're talking about?
Sure. I mean, why not? Let's see. Ding! There was something I was going to say before we went off on the side topic. Oh, it was having to do with headphones versus not headphones. Is when we started doing it at the studio, and people were chatting with us then. Like,
oh, that is nice.
Other people in the studio were talking. And it made sense to, you know, just keep it all open air. But nobody
touched. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I said. That's why I was doing that. It's because, you know, I thought, you know, it's been a while, so the others, well, they have been chiming in. You just can't hear them.
Yeah, something about when you switched mics, I couldn't hear the room anymore.
Yeah, I've been using the Rode Podcaster because I think it's stupid that Josh bought all these expensive things and nobody uses them. So I'm trying to use it, but it's very good about canceling out noise. So yeah. Nobody, you can't hear anybody but me. So
yeah, it's probably got a fairly tight pattern because it's, you know, but that kind of mic, you don't want it to pick up the rest of the room.
Wow, those are prettier.
Don't those look pretty sweet?
They don't have a price on them.
No.
Probably because they're like 10 grand.
Like, I don't even see... I should be able to recognize the price.
There should be a limit on that. Seriously. You shouldn't... No one should ever pay $10,000 for a guitar.
Things are only worth what people are willing to pay for them.
That's a good point. You make a good point. But that's like a car for you. That's two cars for you.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, man.
The fingerboard is Richlite? What is Richlite?
I don't know.
I thought they always had ebony on customs.
They probably have to start sourcing different kinds of woods, like for conservation purposes and whatnot, you know?
Well, yeah, they used to do, like, they did that with rosewood for a while, but rosewood's back.
It's like they were doing so they could simulate the look of rosewood for a while. They were doing a roasted maple top, I think.
I love roasted maple because you never have to adjust the necks. They're always the same. They don't ever warp.
It's
super tough.
I remember, because that was something they didn't start doing until 2000s, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty new thing.
Unless I'm thinking of something else, but that was back like when especially Gibson was having problems sourcing rosewood and stuff.
Gibson doesn't do a lot of roasted. They don't think they do roasted necks at all.
I think they were for a minute, because they were, remember their, when was this, like 08, 09 or something like that, when their factory got raided? Because they had illegally imported rosewood.
Oh, was that when they were in Memphis?
I think so. I don't know if that was post or pre-flood.
I think I remember that.
Cause they were having a run of bad luck there, man. Or at least,
yeah, that's why they're not in Memphis anymore.
Bad decisions. Cause
yeah, they moved to Nashville.
They had that flood, and that screwed a bunch of their stock up.
Yeah, well.
And that's why, I remember for a while after that flood, and I don't know if this is a real thing or if it just... Like, they're using that to create a story for this finish that they had come out with, but for a year or so, they were releasing these, like, swirled finishes.
Oh, the messed up ones? Yeah, you know, the Antigua is supposed to be that, and I don't know why anybody likes that, because it's gross.
And
it's like IPA. It's like, people love this, but it was a mistake. You're not supposed to like this flavor.
Those swirly Gibsons, though, like the SG, were pretty cool looking, I thought. Is where supposedly a bunch of different paints got mixed together.
Yeah. You know about the Antigua, right?
For Gibson?
Look up Antigua guitars. Antigua finish. It's one of the ugliest paints I've ever seen. And it's because it's a mistake. It's like they painted it one color and it just like warped and changed. And so now they do it on purpose.
The first article that pops up when I did my search says Antigua, the most divisive finish of all time.
Because it's gross. It looks like somebody threw up as a paint color.
I have seen this because a Reverb had a base six.
Yes.
A base six that was in Antigua. And I thought the finish wouldn't have looked terrible if they wouldn't have done it on the pickguard too.
Yeah, stupid.
Like being on the pickguard as well makes it really freaking ugly. If it would have just been like a you know, edge of the body finish, that would have been different. But as far as things like this go, I don't know. Oh, here's a picture. It says a 1979 Fender Stratocaster Antigua finish.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a really old thing. I just heard about it.
Well, no, it's back when they didn't know the formulas could mess up like that, you know? So, like I said, it's a mistake.
Oh, so it's just where, like, the finish would oxidize or something?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
It's not supposed to do that. It wasn't supposed to look like that.
Well, like, the first time I've ever remember seeing this was just within the past year because of that Reverb exclusive for the
bass six. Well, I didn't know what it was either until recently, too, so you wouldn't be not the only one, so.
And I just thought it was them trying to do a weird finish. Like, yeah. I didn't realize
it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had a historical context. Like,
yeah, I didn't know it'd been around that long, but yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand, like, if they wouldn't do it to the pick guard, too, it wouldn't look so bad.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Stupid guitar stuff.
You know how you say Tevs all the time?
Oh, that's just because of Jenny.
Yeah, well, I said it to Julie the other day, and she goes, "What did you say to me?"
She got, like, offended?
Well, no, she was like, "What the why are you talking like that?" And I was like, as soon as I said it, too, I was like, yeah, I heard it. It doesn't sound right when I say it. It sounds stupid.
Tev.
It's like, Crank's got something special. He can say it. I can't.
I think it's just because I picked it up from Jenny and I'm saying it the way she said it. Because we spent a lot of time together for a minute, you know? I'm still in touch with her frequently.
Yeah, how's she doing? Does she have a kid?
She has not mentioned a kid. She is still married, though.
Okay, and I was probably making that part up then.
Every so often we send emails to each other and catch up a little bit.
You doing good?
Yeah, she seems like it. She was getting ready. Last email I got was a couple weeks ago, and she said she was getting ready for a trip to Japan.
Really?
I'm not sure. She didn't say whether it was business or pleasure. So when I wrote her back, I asked her, but she hasn't written back yet. But yeah, as far as I know, she's still writing for. She said she was writing for a science magazine online.
Cool.
I think. And mostly
good for her.
Mostly we talk about books we've read and stuff. Which reminds me, now I'm thinking about her emails, I finally got to see the rest of the series of The Magicians.
You know what? I tried to finish it, but it had been so long between the seasons that I saw that I was, like, so lost and I didn't feel like rewatching any of it, so I just never finished it.
And this actually...
And I really like that show.
This actually has a comic book tie-in, because I wound up reading the comic books later, but...
Oh.
Because, like, I binged it, I saw it pop up on Tubi, and I'm like... Oh, you know, I remember really liking that first season and a half, and then somewhere in the season two, I had stopped watching it.
Okay.
Because as I was doing this rewatch, there was a certain point where I just didn't remember what was going on anymore.
Oh, that's exactly what happened.
But I started it over again from the beginning, so. And I watched it all the way through, and I remember saying when I was first watching it a long time ago that it was going its own way, but it was doing it in a well-done way.
Mm-hmm. From the books, you mean?
Yeah. Which, you know, was one of those things where it's rare that somebody takes the source material, alters it, and it still is just as good.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. Like, most things...
No, it happens, but not a lot. You're right.
And in this, they were... Especially, I got to see by the time I watched it all the way through this time. Because immediately after watching all five seasons of it, I went and, over the next few days, reread the three books.
Yeah.
And then I followed that up by reading the two graphic novels.
Oh, okay. Were those good?
Well... Yes, with a qualification on the other one. One of the graphic novels is basically the first book and a half?
Mm-hmm.
First book, I think, mostly. Retold from Alice's standpoint, or viewpoint.
Okay.
Up to the point where she becomes a Niffin and all that.
I know I got past that, but I don't remember anything about it.
But it doesn't, it sort of stops there with her. It doesn't really go into her Niffin life or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically just getting a second take in of the first book, which, again, it's not the same thing as watching the show either. The second graphic novel didn't have any of the characters from either the show or the book in it, and I think it was still based on the book's universe.
Mm.
But it was where the teachers at the school were trying to put together a select group of the students to be kind of like a commando team or something, essentially.
That just sounds like we can't use the actors in this.
Yeah, or something. Or they were trying to expand the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I And it was fine. It was good. But the thing is, I think they were trying to, and I don't know if this was just a TPB or an OGN. I think it was a TPB. I think they were intending it to go on as a series, and it didn't, so it just stopped.
Yeah.
And that's where I was saying it was good, but with a qualification, you know. The fact that it didn't really have much of a resolution bugged me about it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Every series is a mini series.
Yeah. I was thinking about that in context of, like, superheroes and stuff, where Superman, I mean, none of these people are ever going to die. They're always in this constant state of now, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I get it, and that's fine, but, like, I miss having resolutions to stuff. Like, when I read a novel and it ends, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. They're kind of different things, though. You kind of have to feel that when you go into one of those.
I mean, like, characters...
You can't expect it from big IP like that.
Characters age... Or don't, I mean, characters don't age, you know, from... Like, characters, even if they make some sort of meaningful breakthrough in their character arc, it all gets reset at some point again, and they have to do it all over again.
Yeah, it's also what your imagination lets you.
Plus,
some people have trouble separating that, and some people are just happy, you know, with certain stories. Like, I know I'm like that with a lot of stuff, especially, like, Marvel DC stuff.
Yeah, I think that's partly why I'm not as interested in the superhero characters that I grew up with anymore.
Right. I think that's natural.
Because all this stuff's been around since before I was born, even. But even since I started reading when I was a kid, stuff's been reimagined, recontextualized, torn up, put back together again. People died, came back. I mean, shit, they killed Superman, replaced him with a bunch of Supermen, and then brought Superman back.
And they've killed him since then, I'm pretty sure.
Have they? I don't even know. Then you have different takes, like Elseworlds-type takes on him, and then you have, you know, like...
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know.
I
feel exhausted by it now.
Like, well, that's because you stuck around for all of it. I don't think they're designed for everybody to read forever. You know what I mean? It's to hook whatever the current audience is.
Right. And that's... I understand that completely, because they have to keep placing them in an eternal now to keep selling new issues.
Some people can't handle that, though, which is why you get so many shitty things on the internet. But
yeah. Well, that's just because there's a lot of shitty people.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know that all those people are completely shitty. It's that they are allowed to act shitty. if you understand what I'm saying.
Like, yes, I do, but at some point those things become the same.
There's a difference between thinking a thing and not actually expressing it and still being a halfway decent human being, and then actually expressing all this crap and hanging out in shitholes like 4chan. You
know? That's what I do agree with that.
And that part of that is just the fact that it's become broadly acceptable to act like that now. Like,
yes.
There
yes.
aren't consequences for it.
Like, yes.
And that's...
That's something you and I have had a big problem with lately.
And no matter which side of any kind of, like, political spectrum you're on or anything, there used to even be, for conservatives, you know, an unacceptable behavior.
Yes.
Like, that if you cross that line, you paid for it in some way. And there isn't now, you know. The party of personal responsibility doesn't have any. And that's... I'm not going to go off on that. I'm just saying that that's why there's so many shitty things on the internet, is because it's acceptable to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, just the way cultures die.
All right. I was waiting for the moment where you were going to do that.
We don't have to talk about it. I just dropped
no,
it.
No, I know. I know. It's just, yeah, I was wondering if, yeah, I understand. I completely agree. I've been doing a little head in the sand stuff.
And I don't know. Yeah.
What are you eating?
Ice. Baby.
Mm.
Too cold.
Too cold.
Brain freeze. Oh, I know what else I wanted to say, because I just saw they dropped a new one today. This year, so far, OK Go's released two really cool freaking videos.
Really? They're still doing that?
Mm-hmm. And they're getting, like, more and more complex.
Yeah, how?
Well, OK, so the one they did in January was all done on... It was presented to you in the video as being all on screens of iPhones, and it physically actually was on iPhones. Like, all the bits of the video.
So they are... It's not, like trickery? It's
No, they actually did it and figured out how to time it and make everything work.
Oh,
Jeez. And it's the video, like, when you look at it, you're like, you know, they could have just done this so much easier if they would have just did it in post. Like, you know, but it's impressive that they put that much freaking work into this thing. Like,
no, they were ahead of all that before the TikTok started.
Sure.
I said the TikTok to make you know I'm old.
Right. The OK Go.
The OK Go, yes.
I mean, they've always had interesting, I mean, maybe not always, but they've had interesting videos for a long time.
I'm so old, I saw OK Go open for They Might Be Giants, and I didn't know who they were.
I think I still have a promo disc for Get Over It.
Yeah, I've got it. Well, I don't anymore. I got rid of most of my CDs, so.
But they, yeah, I mean, they've been doing this for, what, 20 years, like, making interesting videos now, you know?
It's so weird.
But the one that dropped, it was either today or within the past couple of days. I didn't see it until today. But it's all done with, like, robots and mirrors. And just, like, at one point there's a disco ball suit. Like, and it turns into this weird kaleidoscopy thing because they have all these mirrors, you know, returning their own images and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so these weird kaleidoscopic images. And then they'll pull the mirrors apart, and it's the singer just starts walking out of it again, like, you know.
So let me ask you a question: are the songs good?
They're not bad.
I feel like they're known for their videos and not their music.
I honestly can't name a song besides "Get Over It."
Mm.
And it's been a long time since I've even heard that. But I don't hate their music when I listen to it. But yeah, I mean, for me, the spectacle of the video is like the important thing about them.
Yeah, I think they are. It is for a lot of people.
I mean, yes, they're musicians, but I consider them more like performance artists.
That's funny.
Which, you know, I mean, music and performance art have a long history of working hand in hand anyway, so that's fine. But yeah, these videos are really good. I'm just like, man. But anyway, look those up if you get a chance, because they're fun. And,
No, I won't.
There was something else I was going to tell you about, and I can't remember what now. Geez, I don't know. I had been reading a lot of books, like, this year. I mean, I normally read a lot anyway, but I've been, like...
Yeah, you do. And my wife both.
I've been blazing through stuff this year for some reason. Like...
Julie reads one or two a week.
Yeah. I think it was...
And they're all shitty ones, like the, like, dime store crap.
Oh, those are easy to get through real fast. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she does. And I'm like, she never remembers them. I ask her to tell me about them, and she doesn't know what she just read.
I can understand that. A lot of that stuff is entertaining in the moment, but it's not really, like, all that important.
You know? Mm. That's weird to me, because, like, the stuff I read is the stuff that stays with me.
Well, like, And granted, this was a reread, but it's been a long time since I've read it the first time. But I just recently reread Flowers for Algernon. And
wait a minute, you've talked about this before. How many times have you read that?
That's because that was like 5 years ago, the last time I read that.
I remember you talking about that.
I probably bring it up as a reference point every now and then, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But I
And it's done a lot in pop culture.
And for some reason, I thought there had been more than two movies made, but there have only been two movies.
Mm.
One was in...
I like the Web Tales, or was it Web of Spider-Man? Where Duncan Fregredo drew the flowers for Rhino. Where Rhino got real smart.
Rhino was smart.
And that was good.
It's just a real... I reread this because I had just read a Connie Willis book that... put me in mind of Flowers for Algernon. Not that they're the same thing, but like that, like in Flower, when you read the book, you just get this grinding sense in watching him fall back apart again, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're seeing it, it's like, you're being exposed to it a lot, like, and it's spread out over chapters, so it's like...
How does it end? Spoilers.
Well, spoilers for a book that came out in 60... I think 58, something like that. It ends, he loses his intelligence again.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to work for the bakery, but he can still remember that he was smart, just not, like, actually be smart.
I'm just now realizing that the John Travolta phenomenon is Flowers for Algernon.
But okay, so he goes back to work for the bakery. He can't stand all the pity that everybody's giving him because he's not smart again.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes. He had already had like a part of the thing that was part of the experiment was that if it failed, he was going to go to this work home kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he has himself sent off to this work home, so he doesn't have to be around people who pity him.
I knew it was sad. I just
It's real sad.
Yeah, I don't know why I asked.
Because he had a girl and like yeah. somebody he loved and somebody loved him, and
mm-hmm.
now I'm fat on my face because I'm getting all choked up about it.
Aww.
Made me real emotional.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like I had seen the movie Charlie, which was a 1968 movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that when I was a kid sometime. It must have been on cable or something.
Which one is that? That's not the Mickey Rooney one, is it?
No, but it's the guy that played Kennedy in PT-109. What's his name? Charlie, 1968. What's his name? Cliff Robertson.
Oh, okay.
So
Spider-Man's uncle.
Yes.
He's Uncle Ben.
He was an Uncle Ben, yes.
Yeah. And he was an uncle. That's so funny that there's so many. He was an Uncle Ben.
One of the Bens, yes.
There was no Uncle Ben in the 70s Spider-Man.
The TV show?
Yeah.
No. Was there an aunt?
There was an Aunt May, but you never saw her.
I'm trying to remember. Because, I mean, he was already...
Yeah, he just got the spider bite and then immediately became Spider-Man. There was no, like, thing that made him want to do it.
And he was already, like, a professional photographer or whatever, wasn't he?
He was in college and he was wanting to be a scientist, but they only brought that in every once in a while. Yeah, he was working for the paper already.
Yeah. Oh. Cliff Robertson is dead. He died shortly after Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's been dead.
Hmm.
Way to keep up.
Sorry. But, he did a really good job in this movie of going from being somebody who was, back then they just called it retarded. To being somebody that, suddenly is sophisticatedly smart and then reverting again. But, the problem with the movie, not that it's a problem, it's a good movie,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't, cause I went ahead and rewatched this right after I read the book cause I wanted to see how they were to each other. It doesn't hit like the book does and it doesn't keep hitting you like the book does.
Yeah.
It's cause it's pretty much like by the time he starts his decline, it's just like the last 15 minutes of the movie and it's over and you're done with it,
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a happy ending in the movie.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, he goes, like, the movie opens up with a scene of him playing in a playground with a bunch of kids, even though he's like mm-hmm. a 34-year-old dude or something. And then the movie ends on his girlfriend is watching him in a park playing with kids on a teeter-totter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like smiling and happy and stuff. So it's, the movie sort of has a happy ending, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess you could call it that.
It's poignant.
Yeah. And it narratively it was nice that it had bookends like that, I think.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not as sad. And from what I read about the book, he got rejected by a couple of publishers because they kept wanting him to change the ending and make it happier.
Yeah, that happens like, a lot of that. Yeah.
So it like took him a couple tries to find a publisher for that book.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, good book. But they made another. They made another movie in the 2000s.
Really?
Yeah. Which I don't think I ever saw. I think it
was it Phenomenon?
No, it was actually called Flowers for Algernon.
Was John Travolta in it?
No, I don't think so. Let me see if I can find this real quick.
Did he take his face off?
Adaptations. It's been a musical and a stage play.
A musical?
And they mentioned Flowers for Rhino here in 2001.
Huh.
Television film. It was Matthew Modine.
Oh, okay.
And who else was in it?
Papa.
Starring Matthew Modine and Kelly Williams and Ron Rifkin. Bonnie Bedelia!
John McClane's wife.
Oh, is that who that is? And a bunch of other people who I don't quite recognize, but I might if I saw them. I don't know. But I don't think I've ever seen this one. At least I don't remember watching it. Anyway, what have you been reading?
I can't read. You know that. I read Alex Van Halen's book.
How's that?
It's good. I mean, there's not a lot to it. I mean, I read it like while I was on jury duty.
So, when were you on jury duty?
I don't remember. When was that, everybody? Was it earlier this year?
Have we talked about this?
I was out for a week doing it. And it was a trial, and it got dismissed, like, or mistrialed, so.
Oh.
Yeah, that was earlier this year.
So, yeah, that was earlier this year.
Was that because of you?
Yes, I said something about I'm a big old racist and I can't be impartial.
There you go. That's how you get out of jury. Well, actually, I don't think that would get you out of jury duty nowadays.
Yeah. That's not what happened, by the way.
Okay. That's fine. So what'd you read?
It was called... I forget what it's called. Is it called Brothers, I think? I don't remember. But it was interesting reading his side of things, because even though, you know, he's like the biggest pro-Eddie guy there is, he still was very, you know, he called it out about, you know, his drug addiction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because apparently he got off that stuff way, way long time ago. Way before Eddie.
Huh.
Yeah. He was like into yoga and stuff. Got into all that stuff.
I could see that. The flexibility exercises probably helped his drumming.
Yeah. Said that had something to do with his wife, the new wife that he had or something like that.
Oh.
But yeah, he said, yeah, Eddie could never get past, he is big about his cocaine.
Yeah. Like even up to the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had kicked all
his
stuff.
He never stopped drinking, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought he cleaned up in the 90s.
He cleaned up at the very end, yeah, but it's like it sounded like no matter what, he would always go back to it.
Huh. What do you know about that?
Yeah.
And
it's really funny how they're just real, he's real matter of fact about David Lee Roth. It's like, yeah, the guy was an asshole, but we all kept him around because he was really good at what he did.
Well, yeah, fair enough. That's one of the things. It's like, you know, if you're good and on time, but you don't have to be nice.
He makes it a point though, that what he did was not singing. It's like the good part of what he did was not the singing part. Like they had producers like constantly telling them to replace David Lee Roth.
Really? I mean, he had a pretty distinctive vocal style.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, a lot of it was...
He knew how to make those weird screams, yeah. Like a seal.
It was like he was channeling... Deep Purple guy, Ian Gillan. Like, he was channeling Ian Gillan, but, like, through a weird, like, filter.
Yeah.
Have you read The Moon Is Following Us?
That's Daniel's book, right?
Yeah, and Raleigh Russell.
No, I haven't read it.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it seems like it.
The TPPE just came out not that long ago, I think.
You should go read it. I'm sure it will be very happy, and nothing will make you sad in it.
Uh-huh. Everything. Everything's, you know, causing pain these days. But yeah, that looked cool. And I was also looking stuff up because I was trying to remember. I used to read ROM back in the day when I was.
Yes, we know you read ROM. Jesus Christ!
I don't think I've talked about ROM all that much.
Yes, you have.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think I have.
Everybody knows you like ROM.
Really?
Emmanuel.
Ah, that ROM. No, but
ROM Space Knight.
I didn't realize that ROM was still around. Like there's new stories with ROM and stuff.
I think he always was. I think that's a fairly recent thing. By recent, I mean, like, years.
Yeah, I think IDW not like, was putting out stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was back at Marvel.
Maybe he is. I thought I saw something where it was just a bunch of ROM stuff. But, and I think there was another newer ROM and Micronauts thing, too.
That could be true.
Yeah, yeah, from 2018.
They're always doing something weird within Micronauts.
I used to like them a lot when I was a kid, too.
Mm.
All that oddball crap, the Atari Force and all that. Like,
I mean, I liked Micronauts, but I didn't know what they were. I just got a package of them at Christmas, and I was like, oh, look at these guys. Oh, shit, they fell apart. That was pretty much Micronauts to me.
As a kid,
but I love that you could see through some of them and stuff like that. But other than that, I didn't know that they were even a thing until later when I saw the comic book, and I was like, huh, it's like your Atari Force. It's like, why does this exist?
Yeah. I didn't actually know Micronauts were toys until a lot later. I just knew the comic books.
Really? So you had the opposite of me.
Yeah. I found out they were a toy. I guess either they weren't sold very well around here, or they just weren't something my parents ever bought me or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think I knew what they were when I was a kid. Cause like I said, I just opened up a present on Christmas and it was those guys. And I was like, what are these? But and I played with them. I played with them enough to lose them all.
And I still don't even know how to pronounce the warrior guy. Is it Acroyer or Acroyer?
I mean, it looks like Acroyer.
Yeah, that's how I always pronounced it.
Blaylock used to say Acroyer, but I think it's Acroyer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, either way, it doesn't make sense, but...
And I think when I did find out they were toys, I was confused because there weren't... Like, the characters in the comic book weren't toys, most of them. I mean, the Acroyer was a toy.
Oh, right. They didn't make a lot of the characters actually in the book. Well, they made Karza, and they made...
Karza and Acroyer.
Yeah, but
also... And the giant robot was a smaller robot.
The general, like the regular see-through ones, I guess are supposed to be...
Just dudes? Like,
well, no, they're supposed to be characters, but it's like you don't care because they don't look like Acroyer or... now I'm saying Acroyer.
Because Bug wasn't a toy?
Bug was made up for the comic.
And that lady,
I think that's a Marvel creation.
Was it Mara? What was the lady's name?
Oh, I don't know what her name was.
I don't think she had a toy analog either.
She may have been made up for the comic too. Sorry, my knowledge stops and ends with those days over the 7-Eleven.
Right.
I don't remember any of it.
I'm always kind of surprised when I see something like that pop back up. Of course, I shouldn't be because they're making new comics about Power Lords and crap.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, those always scared me.
Power Lords, Sektars. This is all from the same company, though.
Yeah, Sektars. Sektars were cool toys. I couldn't find a lot of them where I live.
The RoboForce.
I don't know what RoboForce is.
They were robots that had suction cups on the bottom of them, and you stick them to things. Like, as a toy, they weren't that interesting of a toy.
Yeah.
Oh, and the same company's also, they rebooted Biker Mice from Mars.
No thanks.
Which I just thought was, I mean, I guess if they've got the property, that makes sense, but it just seemed like a weird, like, really? Biker Mice from Mars? Why don't you bring back Crystar, too,
Street Sharks.
Yeah, Street Sharks, exactly. Actually,
we'll get Vin Diesel to do a commercial for him again.
I liked Crystar. I shouldn't be dunking on Crystar.
Crystar was pretty cool.
I liked both the comic and the toys.
That had a comic, didn't it? Well,
yeah.
They were cool-looking toys.
Right, yeah.
You know what? That's what I think it is. That's what I think the nostalgia is. It's like everybody remembers these being cool-looking toys. I don't think anybody had them. I think they just remember seeing the ads and stuff.
I had some Crystar figures.
Hmm.
And they were cool because you could see, they were translucent, too. Like,
yeah, I know that.
And like,
was it? Who were the ones that had the holograms?
Visionaries.
Visionaries. Okay.
Yeah, they were cool too. They had a good cartoon as well. It's like I kind of wish somebody would bring back like Galaxy Rangers or something. That one had a lot of cool ship designs and stuff.
I think these guys like Galaxy Rangers.
Oh, it was
do
awesome.
You like? You guys are Galaxy Rangers people. Yeah.
Yeah,
Andrew
awesome.
Probably doesn't know what it is.
It was an awesome cartoon.
Wasn't it it was made in Japan, right?
It was a joint German...
It looked anime-ish.
It was a multi-country thing, like one of those joint deals.
Well, a lot of those were made in Japan. Like, the animation was at the time, so I'm probably just conflating the two.
Oh, did you see... Sorry, I'm just rambling because we haven't talked in so long.
That's fine.
Did you see that they're putting out toys for Cold Slither?
Yeah, I thought that was cool, yeah. I think Sean showed me that.
And there's an album and a re-recording of the song.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, man, I'd love to get those toys, but I know they're going to cost like an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And I don't have any place to put them anyway.
Well, especially now, because I know that the Super 7 people already talked about everything's going to have a tariff charge now.
Oh, right. Fortunately, it looks like comics are still not involved in that.
Printing doesn't seem to be really, on the whole, affected.
Right. So, at least right now, it's not.
Well, I mean, I don't know how long this can last if it's so unpopular. I don't know.
Last as long as he wants it to, because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't seem to really be working on logic rules.
Nah, he'll keep waffling back and forth and then double down again and then waffle and then, you know, and then act like he's got some grand master plan. Like, whatever. And the thing is like, with printing, the biggest problem is like, yes, we have printers in the U.S., but none of them are tooled up to do the kind of numbers that, like, you know, periodical stuff like this does, you know?
Sure.
Like, I remember the printer I worked at wasn't a big printer at all, but, I mean, we probably could have done, like, a limited run comic, but we couldn't have done, like, you know, 60,000 copies or something, you know?
That's a huge run.
60,000?
Yeah.
Is that,
today, that's a huge run.
I thought Marvel and DC were still pulling those numbers.
That's what they're pulling. Okay. If that. I don't think their regular books do that. Huh. I mean, that's like a high-tier comic.
I mean, I know Image books usually go between, like, 7 and 20 somewhere, right?
Maybe if it's huge.
Yeah, I mean the big books, but I'm saying, like, even the big books for Image are still probably only, like, 20,000 copies or something.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Even if, you know, what printing places here do have the capacity to do that, are probably already handling whatever other periodicals are out there, so there's scheduling problems, probably pricing problems, you know.
Yeah.
Because ain't no way some American's going to work as cheap as some dumb Canadian, you know, like.
They are very dumb, aren't they?
No.
Real dumb.
I love Canadians.
Dumb, stupid Canadians. Do we have Canadian people that listen to this? They seem too smart.
I don't know, but I've watched way too many Canadian actors to say I don't like Canadian people.
Well, I've got a lot of Canadian friends. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure all your friends up in Niagara Falls.
Yes, yep, the fake ones. The ones that I've been talking about them since high school.
Gosh, we are doing bits.
My Canadian friends. My Canadian brother has come to visit me.
All my Canadians. How was Dave's visit?
It was good. It was good. It was actually pretty nice. He, for the first time in a long time, seemed to have a good time.
Oh, good.
He's not really known for his cheery disposition, so it was kind of inspiring to see him having such a good time.
You said he was over. Did he come in for the convention?
Yes.
And how was C2E2?
He also came to see other people, but yeah.
And to backtrack on that, how was C2E2 this year?
It was pretty good. I mean, I was not going to go at first, so it was kind of, I had to readjust my mindset to being at a convention. But it was way busier than I expected. I don't know why I didn't expect it to be busy, but it was, I felt like it was busier than last year.
Cool.
I don't know. What did you think, Sean? Yeah, he said Friday and Saturday were crazy. He said Sunday was less than normal, but I did not have that experience. I thought Sunday was just as crazy for me, but by that time I was looking at my watch waiting to leave, so.
You're going to have to update me because I'm not picking up.
He said that sales were only half of what they were on Sunday.
But, I mean, overall, good weekend?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about how I have actual anxiety issues now with that stuff, so.
Yeah.
It wasn't super fun for me, but it could have been way worse, so it was pretty good.
Was there any, like, after stuff involved?
I wasn't involved with any of that stuff. There was, like, some kind of party at Logan Hardware that like Tim and Ryan Brown, and they were having, and like I think Patton Oswalt was there and stuff like that. But I gave my ticket to Sean.
Oh.
So he went. He said it was good, I think.
Cool.
But yeah, I like Logan Hardware, but there's no way I wanted to be there when everybody in the world was there.
That place wasn't around when I was there, was it?
I don't remember. If it was, it wasn't the version that exists now.
Because I recognize the name, I've heard it mentioned, but I don't think I've ever been there.
Yeah. It used to literally be a hardware store in the corner of Fullerton and Western.
Okay.
Now it's an arcade. It's pretty popular.
I'm getting that confused with that hardware store that had the bowling alley on top of it.
Oh, up in Lincoln Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I have never been
there. That burned down.
Did it really?
That's what Sean says. Dang. I remember that, but I didn't come to my mind when... Yeah.
Oh, well. All ships sink eventually.
Oh, that's a funny way of putting it.
Everything falls apart, man.
Yep.
It's like, what is it? First rule of thermodynamics? well, that's cool, though.
Yep.
Glad it was a good show.
Yeah. So while I was there, because a lot of the Lord of the Rings people were there for signing stuff, and Sean was close to that part. And when I was over there, I noticed that Andy Serkis was there, and I was like, "Does he ever say the circus is coming to town when he goes places?" That has to have been uttered in his vicinity, right? If it wasn't him,
like, "Hey, the circus is in town." Yeah.
Yeah. That has to have been said to him before.
Probably. I'm going to, given my name and what I grew up hearing, I'm going to guarantee that he's probably heard that.
Yeah. He's not the lucky one that never gets exposed to that kind of bullshit.
Right. Like, yeah, because anytime you got a name that could possibly be something else, somebody's going to say it.
Yeah. I don't even have a name that rhymes with anything, and people did that to me in grade school. So
I'm sure you got your share of like honeymooners jokes, right?
Yes, in high school, yes. That's when Delirious came out, yes. And I never saw it at that time, so I had no idea what anybody was talking about.
Oh, the Eddie Murphy thing.
Yeah, right. That's what they would recite. Nobody at my age had seen the Honeymooners. They had seen Delirious.
Really? That was always on in reruns when I was a kid.
Yeah. No, I didn't know what he was making fun of until way later.
Yeah, Ralphie boy.
Yeah.
So were you guys not all tabled together?
No, that was another thing. Nobody was next to each other except, I mean, Tim and Jenny were the only ones next to each other.
Huh.
Ryan was somewhere else. He was with Charles.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Charles was in for that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a shame because they used to block you guys all together like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just, yeah, it did feel different because of that.
I guess this way you get to, like, interact with people you don't know as well.
Well, I mean, I was next to another cartoonist who I'd heard of and I liked his work, but he wasn't the most talkative guy, so.
Yeah, I guess it's always a risk.
So I left him alone.
You do your thing, man.
Do your thing, man.
Never had it, never will.
Boomerang was on the other day, and I said that. Like, the scene where he comes in and he's showing his commercial, and I said, never had it, never will, and Julie's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess she's just not the pop culture sponge you are.
No, she is not. It's like, you don't remember the 7-Up guy?
Never had it, never will.
Never will. Wasn't he, Punjab and Annie?
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was.
Isn't he dead now?
Yes.
I thought I remembered seeing that. I can't remember the guy's name.
Definitely dead.
I had to type in never had it, never will guy.
Never had it. Put 7-Up, the 7-Up guy.
Jeffrey Holder. Oh, yeah, he died in 2014. So what else was he in? Oh, a bunch of Broadway.
Yeah, I think he was abroad. I think he was in Annie, and that's why he was in the movie.
That's not listed here, but
maybe I'm just a racist.
But he was in the movie, yes. But the not Broadway thing isn't listed. Okay. Which makes he had a real strong, distinctive voice. So
yeah, he did. Some would say terrifying.
Yeah. Well, for the amount of time he acted, he wasn't in that much stuff. Because his first roles were like 54 on Broadway, 57 on movies. Huh. I mean, you would think somebody that was working that long would have had more roles. Gosh, he was old. He was born in 1930. Mm. And that, commercials from 1982,
83. The 7-Up is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. That doesn't
That's
seem
a
like...
weird thing to stick in your brain that long.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, does it?
Well, no, it does not. I mean, I knew it was a long time ago, but I didn't think it was 82 long time ago.
What was it I just saw?
Never had it, never will.
There was something I just saw that was having its 50-year anniversary this year. Or it's been 50 years
since
it first came
out. I'm sick
of
that shit. I don't want to know about anniversaries of like movies and stuff.
Well, I can't remember what it was, but I was like, whoa, that's been around that long? Like, huh, okay, well. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm out of stuff. Do you have things you want to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, we can end this, and I can finish this. Oh, should I read an email? I wonder if we have any. It's probably John Amore writing like 1,000 times saying, you guys okay?
I guess we have emails, sure.
Well, let's see. Let's see if we do. And if there's like a bunch of them, I'm going to not.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we get here. It's running real slow.
You guys still on Comcast?
Yeah. Hmm. What do you have?
I'm on, it's called Alta Fiber now.
You're on Fiber. That's nice.
It used to be Cincinnati Bell.
Yeah, Google's not pulling up. My mail's not pulling up.
Oh, it sounds like a
weird
network problem. Surprise, we're having connection. Okay. Can't talk.
Now it's loading.
Huh.
That took way too long. That's like dial-up.
Oh, dial-up.
I don't remember dial-up.
Oh, dude, I remember when I got my 56K modem, and it was like twice as fast as what I had before. And I was so happy because I could download an MP3.
Oh, yeah.
Because it only took...
Where'd it go up from 56? Did it go to 70-something?
There might have been one, but that was right around the time when... what was that called? It was still through the phone line, but it was faster. DSL?
We're sorry, but your account is temporarily unavailable. We apologize for the inconvenience and suggest trying again in a few minutes.
Huh.
Weird.
That's weird. I'm still logged into mine. Like, it's not just... I mean, Google's not, like, completely down or anything.
Can you log in?
I don't know the...
I mean, it's... No.
Like, I don't know the passwords or anything anymore. Unless it's, no. It's not your old...
It's okay.
It's not your old password that you always kept reusing, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've gotten better about that.
You really should. It's getting worse. Like, I mean... There is just so much malicious activity these days. It's...
My password is Mike's password.
Oh, okay. Mike's password 1.
Yeah. If anybody wants to break into my shit, my password is Mike's password.
Yeah. And it's 1234.
Mike's password 1234.
Yeah. Because you heard somewhere that you had to add a number in.
Yeah. 1234567891011121.
I just saw a list, this was last year sometime, I remember, but there was a recently updated list of, like, the most common passwords that they were culling from, like, all these active breaches and stuff like that. And so they were going through mm-hmm. the list to see what, like, the most common passwords were, because there are still people that just put in stuff like 123456 7, like, as their mm-hmm. password. And I always think about that when they're going through the most commonly used passwords in the movie Hackers, and they were all, like, three-letter passwords and stuff, like, or four-letter. God, sex, love, you know, stuff like that.
I didn't know you liked that movie.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's all right.
I didn't know you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't watch it very much. Just, like, no. I'll put it on once or twice a year.
Well, that seems way too much already. That doesn't seem like something you would do.
Yeah, no, it's totally unlike me, and I don't know. You know. But, anyway, I guess I need to go make my peace with the Alley Bears. So.
Yep. Sacrifice yourself.
Yep. Something's got
to
work.
Well, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it is, and I'm sorry that I've been absent.
Don't be sorry.
Hopefully this is a start to a better 2025. You know,
yep.
Because
yep.
I don't know. I mean, yes, it can always get worse. I'm not going to say it can't get any worse. Cause it will.
Yeah, that's, you don't invite, don't borrow trouble.
All that, and I just, if I said that, I'd be making a fool of myself. So,
you know. Yep.
But, hey, you know, things can get better, too.
Yes.
It's a pendulum.
Life. That's what Howard Jones said.
It's like that wheel in the sky keeps on turning, Mike.
Yep.
And,
I don't know if... What? I don't know if I'll see tomorrow?
You don't know where you'll be tomorrow.
I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well.
And, life...
Not in Journey, Steven.
I guess not. And, you know, life is a highway.
No, we're not doing no Red Rider.
Red Rider?
That guy was in Red Rider.
Oh, was he?
I don't know, it's Canadian, ask those guys.
I love the Canadians.
Well, they're responsible for Tom Cochrane.
Well, that's fine.
So, they've got a lot to answer for.
They also gave us Triumph.
That's true. But they're all dead, aren't they?
No. I don't think so. I don't know. Are any of them dead? I don't know.
I thought Rick Emmett was dead.
No, really?
Look it up.
I'm doing it now.
But you know what? I've been on a real streak of thinking people are dead and they're not being dead. I used to be real good at that. But apparently, I don't know anything anymore.
Whew, crisis averted. No, he's still alive.
Okay. Because I thought Ted Lang was dead, and he's not dead.
Let's see. I'm going to look and see if anybody else from Triumph is still alive. Because, you know.
You know what? I was thinking outfield.
Oh, you were playing deep.
Yeah, those guys are dead. Well, at least the singer's dead.
Let's see. Gilmore's still alive. And so is Mike Levine.
Yeah, so, it was outfield. It was another power trio from Canada.
Rush?
No. Well, one of them is dead.
Propagandi?
No.
I love Canada.
Well, they're good for music, that's for sure.
I've only ever been there once, though. Anyway. All right, well... we'll see about making this a more regular thing, you know.
Okay.
And, I'm not gonna make any promises or anything, you know, but hey, at least this was like a double episode.
Yep.
And nobody's really gonna want to listen to it all the way through. And that's
nope.
Fine. That's fine. They don't have to.
Certainly not me.
I could split it in half and make it two episodes.
But you could.
That would just be, why? You know, I mean, why do it? All right. Well, it's been so long I don't remember the spiel at the end.
Well, don't. We'll think of a new one and have it ready for next time.
Yeah. We'll wing it.
All right.
Wing it. See y'all later.
Bye.